We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Pastrnak, though, can't make the move on Borgen. Good stick. Riley shot. Rebound! Scores! Over at the far side, Marchand continues his hot streak. Clifton trying to play it up the boards for Corrali. He can't clear. Bjork, good speed off the board. Scores! Ruotsalainen took the pass and tapped it home, and this game is tied at one. Big line for the Bruins, and they score off the draw from the point. Grizzlick with the shot. Pastrnak trying to find a lane, scores into space. Richie takes a shot, score! Short side for Richie. Taylor Hall will play it back to the line. Lazon shot, that goes off the post and it tapped in. Krejci standing there, picks up the loose change, as they say, banks it in, and Boston with five on the night.
Yeah, not the way I think anybody really wanted it to go last night. Tough night for Dustin Tokarski, too. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Marty's here with us. Craig's with us. Darren Dreger is going to join us at 11 o'clock this week, not 11:30. So we're moving him up. We can have a little more time with him. And we'll talk with him about what's going on with Jack and the surgery and the injury, and get some clarity on that. See if he knows anything, because trade deadline's over. UPL tonight, that's another thing we're going to talk about. Marty, I know you're itching to talk about that. But guys, was the score indicative of the game last night, or was it some tough breaks at certain moments that maybe the game could have been closer? I asked this question, ladies and gentlemen, for a reason, because they didn't know I was going to ask this question. But before the show, Craig had a comment about the game, and Marty felt the opposite way about the game. So I felt no better way to talk about the game last night than to ask the guys the differences of their opinion. So was the score indicative of the game or not? Marty, I'll start with you.
No, the score wasn't indicative of the game. It wasn't a good game for the Sabres. They did not play the same way that we've seen them play in the past against Pittsburgh or whatnot, against Washington. But so the eye test tells me that the Sabres were not on par with the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins were better and deserved to win the game. Now you go and look at the numbers, and scoring chances were even. Slot shots were even. Chances off the rush were actually in favor of Buffalo. There was a lot of numbers that were on the Sabres side. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pair the two of them together. I think Boston was better than the Sabres, but the numbers are still not bad for the Buffalo Sabres. They're even throughout the night. So the way I look at it is that the Sabres did not generate enough to win. They defended pretty good against a Boston team that can score goal. I mean, they've got a couple of really high-end line, and I thought they defended well. It was an off night for Dustin Tokarski. We've seen him play really well, but it was an off night. At 1-1, you give up a bad goal to make it 2-1. At 3-1, you give up a bad goal to make it 4-1. I mean, that's just It was an off night for Dustin Tokarski. I didn't think the Sabres were that bad. They didn't play great, but they weren't 5-1 bad in this game.
Riv, I mean, don't sit there silently. Well, I mean, I know you have an opinion on this matter.
Yeah, I don't agree. I'll tell you this. In 2019, 2020, the Boston Bruins were the best team in the National Hockey League. The best. Their team now is, I think, me personally, is even stronger than what it was last year. Now, do the standings right now show this? The standings do not show this right now. I think Boston has made some moves at the deadline that will strengthen and make their team even stronger. We are not in their league. We have lost 10 games in a row to the Boston Bruins. And you ask yourself, wow, you know, there's got to be a time where you can sneak one out. Not when you have a team that plays very consistent hockey on a regular basis. Their standard in which they play is higher than what the Buffalo Sabres is. Okay? That's because they have Brad Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Krejci. They have, you know, even Craig Smith that they brought in unrestricted free agency this year is having a really solid season. You know, Taylor Hall's trying to find his game, but we all know that Taylor Hall is still a very, very good player in this league. And then it just goes down to the third line. You have Charlie Coyle and, I mean, DeBrusk, Nick Ritchie. They are a pretty
good team. Don't you think the Sabres hung with them last night for a little bit?
They you could have put a shooter tutor in that was better than Tokarski. Well, he struggled immensely. No. I mean, not good at all.
And okay, that's what I was going to say to you last night. The game is very different. I mean, against the team that you're talking about, Riv,
but
game is very different. If the power play clicks and you get a couple saves there, that Tokarski's been great, but
the power play, like this is 0-for-11 in two games. And yesterday was a full 10 minutes of power play, really nothing going on, hanging on to pucks. So here's the problem. The Sabres are 0-6 against the New York Islanders this year. They're 0-4-1 against the Boston Bruins, okay? What is the common denominator between the Bruins and the Islanders?
Defensive structure.
The Sabres right now, as they are, we talked about it. They're not, on paper, they're not a good team. They're not as good as they were at the start of the season. They play better. So what we saw last night against the Boston Bruins is the Sabres not having enough talent, enough experience, enough players to be able to break through the defensive structure of the Boston Bruins, just like they don't have enough to break through the Islanders, but they play good enough structure to limit the scoring chances and maybe lose 2-0, maybe lose 2-1 or 3-1, not lose 5-1. 5-1 is because, yes, Tokarski had an off night. And you're hoping that you play well enough defensively that when you get a power play opportunity or two or three, yep, maybe 100%. That's going to keep you close. And yeah, the power play.
Listen, I mean, Marty, you're saying a woulda, shoulda, coulda. We're not dealing with woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I'm not saying what shoulda, coulda, woulda. I'm telling you why they're not beating the Boston Bruins. I'm telling you why they're not beating the New York Islanders.
Okay.
There's a simple reason. They are very, very. The Washington Capitals were 2-5-1 against them. So, yeah, and the New York Rangers were 2-2-2. The Flyers were 3-3-2. Like, what's the difference between the Flyers, the Rangers, and the Bruins and the Islanders? The Bruins and the Islanders play a tight system. And then the Rangers and the Flyers play a very run and gun. Like, we're going to open things up. So the Sabres are being gifted opportunities against the Rangers and the Flyers. But against the Bruins and the Islanders, they have to work extra hard for them. And we don't have the roster right now to be able to work through that. Or if we do, certain players, I'm waiting. Like last night in the game, I'm like, okay, Duffer asked me after the second period, who you want to see shine through here? It's 2-1. And I said, I'm looking for Sam Reinhart, Jeff Skinner, and Victor Olofsson to do something, right? And it didn't happen. So that's Look, I can ask Dylan Cousins to play out of his mind, and they scored a goal and they did great. And I can ask Mittelstadt's line to play out of their mind. But when you're playing against that good of a team, an experienced team, you need your veteran experienced guys to come through. And it didn't happen yesterday. It just
Who's our veteran experience? That's the whole point. Well, who is our veteran? Sam. Okay.
Exactly. That's my point.
And
there's nothing else right now.
And we have Jeff Skinner, who's a veteran.
Yeah, that's the same
Everybody
line.
Else is, you know, like, listen, I mean, Casey Mittelstadt, I think, is playing excellent hockey. I'm really impressed with the way he's playing. Rasmus Asplund, you're looking at R2 Ruotsalainen, the way he's moving and skating. And there's a lot of good here. I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of good. Will Borgen, his first game back in I don't know how long after breaking his forearm. You know, he
32.
Played 18.
He missed 32.
32 games. It's crazy to be able to be off that long, step into the lineup. He played 18 minutes and 20 seconds. I thought he was solid, you know, nothing special, but real solid. You know, there's a lot of good things. I mean, this lineup is so young. I mean, we're talking about the Boston Bruins are a team that is actually right now, their mindset is get better every game, but their mindset is to win the Stanley Cup. If they don't win the Stanley Cup, it is a bust season.
They also can't afford to lose these games right now to the Sabres. These are,
yeah,
these are absolutely. the games where they're going to close the gap on the Islanders and Pittsburgh and Washington for that matter, because the Bruins have a couple games in hand.
And more importantly, PD, is that the Rangers were hot and were coming right behind them, and Boston was like, we have to create that separation, which with the Rangers lost last night and the Bruins win, they've got that separation. Now the Rangers can only get, the maximum they can get is 70 points. They have 9 games left and they have 52 points. So that means the Bruins can play below 500 for the rest of the season and make the playoffs. If the Rangers win their last 9 games, all the Bruins have to do is get 5 wins, 5.
Out of 11.
Well, 11, okay, 5 plus 1. So they have to get 11 points to get in. They have to play 500 hockey.
And they have 2 games. They have 2 more games in what, less than a week? They're going to play 2 more games against the Buffalo.
Well, one tonight and 2 next week. So that's 3. Boom. So,
and that's why these games are not easy for this young group of kids. I mean, we have a young group of kids. We had one of the youngest defense corps.
It is the youngest this season. The youngest in the National Hockey League to play this year.
Well, I asked yesterday, Marty, how young is it? How young is it in league history? Because it's an average age of 22 going into a regular season.
No, it was 23, a little above 23 when you consider the months and the days or whatnot. Now, the Sabres, we asked the NHL stats yesterday. Duffer asked, send an email, and the Sabres have iced, I think, 4 times or 5 times a group of defense that was younger than 23 on average. But I think all those times they dressed 5D, and I think Phil Housley was 18 years old at the time, part of that group, right? So they were very young, but a group of 6 at 23, like yesterday, is very young, and they did good. Listen, that is a major, major storyline going into last night, is the fact that that group of defense is so young.
How young are we going to be when we have Owen Powers next year?
Oh, well, okay.
Okay.
That's, you know, you're dreaming and you're moving ahead. You don't want to talk about the past, but you are way better about talking about the future.
Marty, but he's just trying to get his licks in here because he's only on till 11.
I'll say this. So the ice time yesterday for that group of 6, okay? And I'm not going to talk about power play and shorthanded because, I mean, Rasmus Dahlin played over 6.5 minutes of power play time. But even strength. Borgen, 16 minutes. Joki Aho, 16 minutes. You've got Dahlin, almost 17 minutes. Samuelsson, 13.5. Risto, almost 14. And Bryson, 15. And who's the other one I'm missing? Anyway, I'm looking at my list here. Samuelsson was 13.5. So they were all between 13.5, 14 minutes, and 16.5 minutes. Even strength, they basically said, we don't have a 1-2-3 pair. We're going to roll you guys out there and get you guys in the game. And they all played well. I really liked Every single one of them. And they all have a different look. Samuelson and Ristolainen are more physical, big. Dahlin and Jokiharju are quick, up the ice, create some offense. And then you have Bryson with Borgen, who played together in Rochester, and they work really well together.
You know what's amazing about this? You have all three pairs, okay? And when you think of Bryson and Borgen together, would you feel comfortable on a regular night putting them against Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand?
No, not for me.
So who are you going to put out there? Dahlin and Jokiharju?
You put Risto and Samuelson.
That'd be the last pair.
You put Risto and Samuelson against them.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, like, you're going to have Dahlin and you're going to have Jokiharju most likely when you're into next season and we have a top line offensively. Jokiharju and Dahlin is going to play with our top line. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, most likely.
Be on the ice because you're going to be adding offense with that top group. I'm going to tell you this. I've been very impressed with Jacob Bryson. I think he moves the puck very well. I think he skates very well. I think he's going to get better as he gets more acclimated to the NHL game, the speed, everything else, and he gains more confidence. I think he's going to be great. And Will Borgen, we know what we're going to get in Will Borgen. It's not going to be super flashy. He skates very well. He moves the puck well, and he's physical. And he's a good defender.
So just for example, yesterday, okay, when Bergeron was on the ice at 5-on-5, you had Jokiharju and Dahlin played 4 minutes and 16 seconds and 4:05, so just a little over 4 minutes against Bergeron. The second pair was Ristolainen, and he played 2.5 minutes against them. So, and Matthias Samuelson, 2.5 minutes. So they really gave Jokiharju and Dahlin the Bergeron matchup in the game most of the night.
No. Did they give it to them or did Boston do it?
No, the Sabres have last change. They're at home.
Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Darren Dreger at 11 o'clock today. Disser Dak coming up at 10:30. And coming up tonight, something I've been looking forward to seeing. I think there's been a lot of hype about this kid. He has been kind of slowly allowed, Riv, I'll steal the word you just used, acclimated into the team and seen some practices, backed up twice now. UPL, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is set to make his NHL debut tonight. What are we to expect here, Marty?
Well, a few things. One, you're going to see a big goalie in net, about the same size as Linus Ullmark. I think maybe even a little taller. He plays well down low, meaning he's got that bottom of the ice well covered up. We're watching clips of him in practice. That's what he does. He gets low to the ice, plays around the net. He's really wide. The one thing that I'm interested in finding out is how he matches up with the speed. You know, the speed of the AHL is a few notches below the speed of the NHL, although the game is more predictable at the National Hockey League level. So that's why you see goaltenders sometimes that get called up and you're like, wow, they're better in the NHL than they were in the AHL. Why? Because it's more predictable. So for a big goalie like UPL that plays a little deeper, that reads the play in front of him, that may be something that will work in his advantage. So I'm excited to see him. I think he's developed really nicely. It's been unfortunate that this year in Rochester, they don't have players in Rochester. They've got only 5 guys in their last game with the Rochester Americans who are on a Buffalo Sabres contract. 5. They've got a bunch of professional tryouts guys, and it's hard to get professional tryouts guys because there's all these COVID protocol and quarantine, so you got to get local guys. And they've not had a full roster when you consider the guys that are up in Buffalo and the taxi squad in Buffalo. It's been tough in Rochester. So the numbers don't reflect well on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but I think we're going to get a good sense of where he's at. And I hope he doesn't just play one game. I hope it's 2, 3, maybe 4 games down the stretch to see what he really has.
Anthony, what do you think?
You know what? Listen, I mean, I'm looking for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to make the routine save. Like the one that Matt Grislick last night, the wrist shot from the point, was horrendous. Like, that's ridiculous that that's going in on an NHL goaltender. Nick Ritchie, a shot from, like, outside the dot on the left-hand side. He lets it in short side. These are absolutely unacceptable for an NHL goaltender.
Somebody was criticizing
Pekka Luukkonen. I'm looking for Pekka Luukkonen just to make the routine saves. And these guys that are going to play in front of him, they need to play well. They need to be focused on playing a really tough game against a very good team. Pekka Luukkonen making the routine saves for this team. We don't need him to make the, you know, the saves that, you know, the highlight wheel saves, even though we would like that, but make the routine saves, just build some confidence. And I hope those guys in front of them realize that this is a young goaltender, first game in the Nets, and they go out and they support this guy.
PD,
yes, sir.
I gave up a goal to Alex Ovechkin 1 year, okay? It was in the playoffs when I was with the Flyers. It was on TSN, and Pierre Maguire was the color analyst. And Ovi came in and shot short side from about the dot, and he beat me on the blocker side. And Pierre Maguire goes, oh, and Alex Ovechkin beats Marty Biron on the AHL side, the short side. That's an AHL goal. And I'm like, so at the time, I didn't know he had said that. I got somebody send me a few clips of goals of Ovechkin in his career against me just a month ago. And I'm watching him and listening to him. I'm like, wait a second. Did Pierre Maguire just said the AHL side because it was the short side? It's Alex Ovechkin, the greatest goal scorer in our generation, maybe, that shot that puck, right? So yesterday, that Richie goal, that's the first thing I thought is if Pierre Maguire was doing that game, he would have said, there's the AHL side. That's a short side goal. That's the AHL side, right?
Marty.
So that's what it is.
I've only ever seen one player crunch you multiple times in one game, short side. One player. His name was Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, Peters, at the Northtown Center in our summer skate, and he ripped him twice from below the goal line under your shoulder. You were not expecting it. Instigators, WGR.
He has a sneaky good shot, that guy.
He does have a sneaky good shot. Well, I look, I mean, UPL going in, like, how much pressure does this guy need? How much pressure is he going to be under? I mean, is this the right circumstance? I've been looking forward to seeing this. I've said all along when the season was out, get all the kids in there, get them all. Jack Quinn can't go in now. He's having surgery, yeah. But Craig, I understand your earning it theory, but sometimes, I mean, just giving a guy a chance or a sniff just to get a feel, is that beneficial?
Well, I'll probably be the minority on this, but in a goaltending situation, you know, listen, I mean, we're in a spot right now, Petey, that our number one goaltender's out, our number two goaltender's out, our number three goaltender got traded, our number four goaltender was player of the week last week, but I mean, came down to planet Earth last night and did not do any favors for his team. And now you're in a situation where you have your fifth guy, was it Hoser, who's just sitting there as a shooter tutor backup, and you have UPL, which is this young guy that we have known about here in Saberland for a long time. They picked him in the second round. He's a big goaltender. He's had some really nice success. You know, is it time to put him in? Why not? I said last week that I wouldn't, because I would want him to be in a situation that he would play well in the minors before he got an opportunity to play in the NHL. And I don't think he's played great in the minors. Although Marty alluded to, how is he supposed to play well when he's got all of the American Hockey League team literally playing for the Buffalo Sabres right now?
Well, Marty,
so here's what's going on. And you know, I think this is a great situation for UPL. I think he gets some initial experience.
Do you think there's less pressure on him now? Do you think there's less pressure on UPL coming into this game because of we've got Samuelson up, Bryson up, Borgen up. We've got a young Dahlin, young Joakim Haru. We've got Mittelstadt, Asplin, Tage Thompson.
Well, I think the big thing, Rivs, is that
Ruotsalainen, Cousins. Like, our entire team is under 23. Like,
I don't think that's the, I don't think that's the part that makes him less pressure on him. I think the part is that he knows all of these guys. He played with them last year, and he's played with them this year. Like, if those guys had all been in Buffalo, so now he walks in and he's been there for a week or 10 days now, a week.
He knows them. Maybe for lunch. You know, he's practiced, he's not
for two games on the bench. And it's something we talked about yesterday, Marty. How beneficial is that? This is a very unique circumstance in which a player playing his first game gets called up and plays his first game. He gets called up, he gets to back up, practice.
There's pressure. There's pressure in every situation you're in. Spencer Knight with the Florida Panthers, you could go out and say, no pressure, Spencer Knight. Your team is one of the top teams in that division in the Central, and you guys are going to make the playoffs. Just go out and play the game. But if I'm Spencer Knight, I'm thinking, well, we have one of the top teams, and this should be a win for us, and I got to go out there and perform well, right? Like, there's always going to be pressure. UPL today, maybe there's no pressure in the win-loss in the end, how it's going to affect the season, but there's pressure on himself. Like, I want to be an NHL player. I want to be an NHL goaltender. I want to be fighting for maybe next Spencer year in Buffalo. Knight,
the difference with Spencer Knight is he's been the highest drafted goaltender in the last, what? How many years, Marty? 10?
He got drafted 13th.
Got drafted 13th overall. He has had that aura about him with the U.S. National Development Team and the World Junior teams. And you have the Florida Panthers that are not only trying to win a division against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're only 1 point apart. These guys are fighting back and forth. They want to be number one in the division. Number two, they're trying to win the President's Trophy. They're trying to win the best in the league, and they're 3 points back right now. There is pressure, I think, to come into a Florida lineup knowing that wins mean something.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, there is pressure on Spencer Knight, but some people may say, well, there's no pressure. It doesn't matter. They're a good team. There's pressure on UPL. Listen, Caden Primo in Montreal, he's already played a couple of NHL games. Last season, he got called up and he played a couple of games. But he's most likely going to play either tonight or tomorrow against the Calgary Flames. There's going to be pressure, different type of pressure. Not that he's not played in the NHL, but now you're in a playoff battle, you know, and you are directly playing against the Flames who are chasing you. There's a ton of different pressure. There's always pressure, and there should always be pressure.
And I'm about to add more pressure.
Every NHL game should be a pressured game.
Agreed.
Because then what it does is it makes you think more, prepare more, play more. It should always be pressure. If the day that you go into an NHL game and you're like, this is like a beer league game with my buddies, you're out. Should be out of the game, because NHL should always be pressure.
All right, here's more pressure. At 11:30, because Craig's taken off at 11. He's got a big game. Talk about pressure. Darren Dreger at 11. At 11:30, I'm going to talk to Marty about his first game as an NHL goalie. How is he feeling? How nervous was he? What kind of pressure was he under? Only Marty can really understand what UPL is going through out of the three of us here. So we'll talk to him about that at 11. Look forward to maybe a good story. But I'm going to add some more pressure into UPL's plate before we get out of here for this or that. Walmart. Don't forget this. Walmart, this month, for every save made, Walmart is going to be donating 100 meals to families in need. Learn more on how to join in the fight against hunger at walmart.com/fighthunger. It's all on you, UPL. I mean, you know, you stop them all. All those go to families in need and need some meals. So no more pressure. Instigators, we'll be right back. Dis or dat, Marty?
Yep.
Ready to rock? Dis or dat coming up next. Darren Dreger at 11. Stick around. More to come.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Instigators here. This or that right now on WGR 550 and MSG. Guys, does it ever happen to you? You put something in your Google search and it comes out completely not what you were trying to do? So I wanted to put in longest NHL games played streak. And I clicked enter. And then I look up and it says Longhorn Steakhouse NHL games. Like, it just like was completely... completely all over the place. So I guess we'll start there. This, that, or the other thing. Most consecutive games played right now is like the Cal Ripken Jr. of the NHL is Doug Jarvis at 964. Patrick Marleau just passed Gordie Howe for most games played in the NHL, and he just went over 900 consecutive games played. Keith Yandel is in there, and Phil Kessel is in there. This, that, or the other thing. Which one will... pass Doug Jarvis, or if all three passes, which one will end up with the longest games played streak in the NHL? Marleau, Yandel, or Kessel? Rivs, we'll start with you.
So you have Keith Yandel, who is at
914.
And he's 34 years old. You have Patrick Marleau, who's sitting at
900,
right?
Yes.
I think Patrick Marleau is going to retire after this season, or for that matter, should retire after this season. Phil Kessel is at 891. He's 33 years old. Oh my God. He's got. I think it's going to be Phil Kessel.
Yeah,
I really do believe it's going to be Phil Kessel. He's 33 years old. The way he plays the game, he's very fluid with his skating. He's not really in the corners, putting himself in tough positions to get hurt and cranked. You never really see him near the front of the net where he could take some abuse, but he finds ways to score goals, and he's a super exciting player to watch. I think
he doesn't block too many shots either, right?
He doesn't block shots. He's not blocking shots. Come on. He doesn't even wear shin pads. So I'm going to go with Phil Kessel at 890. I think if someone's going to break this, it's going to be Phil Kessel.
Okay, PD, this, that, the other thing. Which one or which will break Doug Jarvis' game, consecutive games played record? And which one will be on top by the end of it? Keith Yandel, Patrick Marleau, or Phil Kessel? This, that, the other thing.
I gotta go Kessel as well, although there's always been the hype around Yandel doing it. There was a lot of talk about, wasn't Yandel supposed to be or expected to be a healthy scratch this year at some point?
Yeah, but, at the start of the season, first game of the year, he was not going to play.
They didn't even want him. Florida didn't even want him. They're trying to move his $6.3 million salary. There's no takers out there at all. And the crazy thing is this guy, he is loved by his teammates. He is loved by many, many players around the hockey league. He's a really well-liked guy in the locker room. And I'll tell you right now, if you go look at him, he just produces points every single year. He is a point-producing freak on the power play. But I think there's going to be a time when – I just think that Phil Kessel is that guy. What is he, 24 behind? He's 24 games behind Keith Yandel, but I think he's got a longevity in his
Petey, you're Kessel as well?
Yeah, I'm Kessel as well.
Okay, you're Kessel as well. Okay, let's move on here. Okay, yesterday, and maybe I'm backtracking here, but yesterday the Sabres social media put out the players' favorite songs. And I went through that list of song and I felt really old. I'll be honest with you, because there is some artists and songs out there. I'm like, I've never heard of them in one bit. Like, who is JVG? Like, I would think he's a European or a Finnish rapper or a hip hop artist, because all the Finns had him out there. So I don't know if you guys have seen it. We've got it on MSG right now for you guys to look at it. I kind of want to know who has the best music selection, the forwards, the defense, or the goalies, this, that, the other thing. Which one has the best music pick, forwards, defense, or goalies? Petey, you're the music guy. Let us know what's your insight here.
Will Borgen earned himself an 8-year deal with his music selection yesterday. Not only do I love his play and love his demeanor and love everything you've ever heard about him coming up, but you hear, I see all this crap on here, and all of a sudden you see some folks are born silver spoon in hand. Oh, don't they help themselves? Yeah. He's got Creedence Clearwater on there. Fortunate yeah. Son. That is, I mean, it's one of my all-time favorites. How does a kid this age throw CCR on there? That's good parenting right there.
Yeah, that was really, really good. You also have Matt Irwin with A Little Country with Luke Combs and Eric Church there, Dust to Me. So I agree with you. I think the defense had the better look.
8-year deal for Borgen.
This, that, the other thing. Who has the better music picks, the forwards, the defense, or the goalies? Rivs, what do you got?
I'm looking at the all the players that were in on this, and there was 14 of them, correct, Marty?
Yes.
So I only know CCR, Will Borgen, and Luke Combs, who I don't listen to Luke Combs' music. I know he's a country. Is he not a country star?
Yeah, you know more than that. You know Mr. Brightside. You know the Killers.
Yeah, Mr. Brightside's a great song. I don't know. Do people actually classify, throw that in there as their favorite song?
Yeah, you know that song.
Yeah. All right. I don't like any of this music. I looked up the Finnish stuff from Rasmus Ristolainen and Jouki Harju, this JVG or whatever, and it's some rap group in Finland, which makes it even worse. How do you even rap in Finnish? It's like, have you ever heard the language? How is that even possible?
Rivs, I had that story to tell, but we gotta keep going with this or that here. So let's move on from music.
How about this one? Pegboard Nerds.
Yes.
What the?
What are they called? Peg?
They're the band name. The song is Together by Pegboard Nerds, More Plastic. That's who sings it. Yeah.
Let's just go straight Aussie. Let's go some Metallica. Let's go some Cult. Let's go some Led Zeppelin. What is going on here in this world?
I think we need to do an Instigator playlist. We all, Rivs, you pick three songs. PD, you pick three. I pick three or four. We'll have a nice 12-song playlist, and then we'll put it against the Sabres playlist and do a real this or that with our fans, see who wins.
Well, our demographic is, from what I understand, 18 to 54, but yet everyone that stops me at the grocery store is like 70. So, I mean, I don't know what. I don't know what demographic we're going for here, but I think I could tickle into our main here with some of our music choices for sure.
Oh yeah, we will definitely win this. We'll
try to send you guys a playlist. You didn't even bother to open it, but that's fine.
You send it either too early or too late.
I love your playlist. I am your biggest fan.
DJ Repeaters, I'm available for parties.
Well, listen, DJ Repeaters, if you were to get in the playoffs. Because you were our DJ in the playoffs. You even had the song going on our playoff video. You were all working with Mugatu at the time.
I had to find a job to do, Marty. I literally was other than traveling
with
the
team. You and Corey Smith. Corey Smith was our video coach. So we called him Mugatu from the movie Zoolander. But anyway, you and Mugatu were working on music. So if you had to spin for one of these two teams and you would want to win the cup, you know, both teams have now clinched a playoff spot. I'm talking about the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche. I'm asking you this or that. Which one would you want to spin for and thinking that they have a better chance to win the cup? Who do you got? The Avs or the Knights? Rivs, we'll start with you. Who's the better team? Who do you got? This or that?
I'm literally just going to go and say, I'm going with my Vegas Golden Knights only for one simple reason. Okay. I have a man crush. I have a Superman crush on Alex Tuch. The guy is a stud. The guy is unbelievable. He skates, shoots. He's got great skills. You know what? Petey housed the younger one, for a couple years here in Buffalo. Yep. And You know what? I really like both makeups of both teams. We're talking two very, very good teams. And I'm going to tell you this. I think when push comes to shove, I think the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be the team to beat.
Okay, maybe better goaltending in Vegas, and that's the key there. Petey, this or that's, that? Who's the better team?
You just said it. You just said it, goaltending. I think it comes down to the goaltending, and I think Vegas has it. Otherwise, if Colorado had a really solid, true number one and number two, I probably would say the Avalanche.
I think Grubauer's been really good, though. That's the thing. He's been really good, but he hasn't had he doesn't have the resume that Fleury and Leonard have. And maybe that's why the perception is he's not as good. And obviously, Fleury's won a cup.
Well, look who your fallback is in Vegas, right? In Vegas, if one goes down, look who the other is. You know what I mean?
They have Devin Dubnyk now in Colorado, but still. Okay, I'm going to do the thing that we should do on radio is I'm going to say the Avalanche just because I like their group of forwards and I like their group of defense. I know the goaltending is what it is, but when those two play against each other, it's going to be great hockey. I can't wait to see it happen. We talked about the longest Ironman streak in the NHL. Well, there's also I don't want to call it a streak, but a number that's attainable right now. It's Scotty Bowman's most games coach at 2,141. Joel Quenneville is sitting at 1,761, and Barry Trotz is at 1,730. So, which one, if one, would or will catch Coach Bowman? Is it going to be Coach Q or Barry Trotz, this or that? Rivs, we'll go with you. Which one will catch? Scotty Bowman, who, by the way, was at the game last night, Aaron Buffalo scouting. He's the senior advisor with the Chicago Blackhawks. So, I'm sure he's listening to the show too. So we're going to give him, props this morning. Who do you think could and would catch Scotty Bowman? Rivs?
Both. 100% both will pass Scotty Bowman. There's no question about it. So right now you have Scotty Bowman that sits at 2,141 games. You have Quenneville that's at 1,761, which is 380 games that Quenneville has to coach. That's 4.5 years of coaching. I mean, Quenneville's going to coach. He could coach another how many years? 8 years? Barry Trotz is in the same position. I think that Barry Trotz and Joel Quenneville, they will both pass Scotty Bowman.
Okay.
Yeah, Petey? They'll both pass. Who's going to finish with more? I'll say Trotz.
Okay.
Who's older? Who's older out of these two guys, Marty?
I don't know. Let me see. Joel Quenneville right now, he's born in 58. So let's do a little math. So he's 63 years old.
Okay.
And Barry Trotz was born in 62. So little quick maths here.
59.
He's 59 years old. So they're pretty close. They're 4 years apart.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you right now, Trotz could coach another 10 years minimum. I think that he has the ability with who he is as a person. He's really well-liked from his teammates. You have a coach both these guys, they bring in some younger assistants that can really kind of like mingle with the actual players. I think both these guys are going to surpass Scotty Bowman, but I think Petey said, Trotz is going to be the guy that.
And quickly before we go to break, and Rivs, you're going to have to go. Will anybody ever catch Scotty Bowman's record 9 Stanley Cups as a head coach? Yes or no, this or that. Quickly, Petey. Anybody Never. Would ever catch Scotty Bowman 9 Stanley Cups?
Never.
Never.
And Rivs? Nor do I want them to.
Rivs?
Not even close. Who is the closest right now?
Joel Quenneville with 3 active, but all time.
You'll never have a long running dynasty like that again. You'll never have those teams that win 5-6 in a row or 6 of 9 or you know what I mean? That's
yeah,
over.
You'll,
that's
you'll, you'll never require. Have you'll never have, you know, the you know, back in the day when you know teams were winning, you know, 4, you know, Stanley Cups in 5 or 6 years. I just don't, I don't see, the game is so tough right now. The game is better than it's ever been. And I mean, you look at the Stanley Cup this year, you look at the teams that are going to come out of each division. All 16 of those teams have a legit chance to win the Stanley Cup, or at least 10 or 12 of those teams have a legit chance of winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Well,
like, listen, when can we talk about teams that can win? You know, usually you have your top five. You're like, okay, you know, these five teams are so elite that these are the guys that are going to win the Stanley Cup. And it usually happens. But right now you have 12 teams right now. The parity in the league has never been better.
We got to go to break, but just so you guys know, Scotty Bowman won his cup, and he won them in like a short amount of time. So he had five with the Canadiens in 1973, 76, 77, 78, and 79. One with the Penguins in 92. That was the second of back-to-back. And three with the Detroit Red Wings, 97, 98, 2002. So he gets that team going, and they get winning. That's not going to happen again. That's his 9 Stanley Cups. We'll be right back. Rivs, we say goodbye to you. Darren Dreger at 11 o'clock and 11:30. We're going to talk more about UPL here, Petey. So
you were average today, Rivs. You were average. I expected more out of you this hour.
Well, my average is better than most people's grade, so I feel okay with the average today.
Okay.
Thanks, you were good. Yeah, you were good, Petey. I got to fix my sunlight coming in right now. I'm kind of blinded here. I look like I'm the Phantom of the Opera here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
All right, Sabres Bruins, the last of three this week, but you got a couple more next week. And that game's at 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame show on MSG, 6 o'clock on WGR 550. I will quickly mention that the Cap of Hope is still available. All Buffalo area Wegmans, shop onebuffalo.com and Sabre store for purchase. You can go check it out. Great hat. We have them designed by a couple of patients and one of the physicians. And proceeds from the Cap go back to Roswell Park. So, very good hat there. Marty, I wanted to let you say something here. Fan appreciation night.
Yeah, fan appreciation night. Obviously, there's going to be fans in the building, but it's going virtual as well. So follow along with all social platforms, BuffaloSabres.com, as well as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, for some prizes during the broadcast tonight and some really good surprizes. So, yeah.
Is this the night where they would normally get the jerseys and stuff?
Yeah, that would be the night because it's fan appreciation night. I mean, usually it's the last game of the season, but this is the last game where fans are going to be in attendance. So that's why they want to do it tonight in this game. It's not the last home game of the season, obviously, but that's why they're doing it. Tune into the pregame at 6:30 tonight. We're going to have a very, very cool video about a very special fan as well.
All right. That's enough of a tease that I need. We're going to head out of here because Darren Dreger is coming up at 11 o'clock instead of 11:30 this week. Gives us a little more time. Things we'll talk about. Obviously, Jack Eichel. What's the surgery and the rehab situation with him? And UPL, what's going on around the league? There's lots to talk to Dregs about, so stick around. Lots to come. And Marty's first NHL game story at 11:30 as it relates to UPL making its NHL debut tonight. I look forward to hearing it. I don't think I've ever heard this. How nervous were you? What'd you eat for pregame? Could you eat pregame? Did you sleep the night before?
It's a long story, but it's a good one.
Well, then it's the perfect guy to ask it to because you love long stories. All right, we'll be right back. Marty Biron, Andrew Peters, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG with Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.